Is it okay to be grieving this? I mean, we were just dating. I feel so stuck after the move. Why can't I move forward? Things are just so different from life pre-pandemic. I miss so many milestones, and I don't know how to reconcile that. I lost my job due to layoffs, and I'm so angry and just can't figure out why I can't let it go. My friends all dispersed after graduation, and that season of life is done. I don't know what to do with how lonely I feel. I just got a chronic illness diagnosis, and it means really big changes for me and my family. What do I do with all this impending change and ambiguity? Welcome to Grief is the New Normal. I'm Dr. Heather Taylor, a licensed psychologist and grief specialist, here to help change the conversation about grief and build community and connection while we all adjust to this new normal we are living in. This podcast is for you if you are grieving or if you are supporting someone in a season of grief. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back, grief community. I am really excited about today's topic. I think it's something that can often be overlooked, and it's important to give it some space because it's a different lens for grief. That being said, today we're going to start diving into a topic that's often overlooked in conversations about loss, non-death losses. There will be a few different episodes about non-death losses over the next couple months as we start to build a narrative about this common experience. We're going to explore some of the different types of non-death losses, why they carry immense weight, and why it's essential not to minimize their impact. As we know, loss comes in many forms, and it's not always about the physical departure of a loved one. It can be the end of a relationship, the breakdown of a marriage, the loss of a job, concerns about housing stability or food insecurity, a new chronic illness diagnosis, a mental health diagnosis, substance misuse impacting a family system, or the disillusionment of dreams. Even missed milestones. It's about the ending of something familiar, something integral to our sense of self and our future. And these things can compound and feel heavy on our being. One of the challenging things about non-death losses is that society often prioritizes grief associated with death, meaning that other losses are relegated to the sidelines. But just because someone hasn't physically died doesn't mean the grief isn't real or significant. The emotional pain, the sense of upheaval, the questioning of one's identity and purpose, these are all very real experiences. For example, imagining pouring out your heart and soul into a career only to be laid off unexpectedly. That loss isn't just financial. It's a blow to your sense of worth, your stability, your plans for the future. There are ripples of that into relationships and a sense of security or purpose. We work towards, build towards things, and unexpected layoffs can have a domino effect where we don't know what will make them stop falling. You could also consider the end of a marriage. It's the death of a partnership, a shared vision, and often a significant part of one's identity. This is someone you are potentially building plans with, dreaming with, picturing the next years and seasons with. These are just two of the non-death losses that can have very complicated grief feelings and unexpected ripples about them. I think that's one of the hard things when there is an ending of a job or relationship. Those secondary losses can be hard to predict. It keeps us in a state of ambiguity and removes our access to those people or places that offered a sense of comfort, community, or familiarity, a role, a purpose. And now we have to figure out what it means to rebuild, rediscover, reconnect with who we are now as we move through this new normal. During the pandemic years, we witnessed a surge of non-death losses. People have lost jobs, homes, routines, and even just simple pleasures of everyday life. People uprooted their lives and moved to different states, worked to rebuild communities, lost a sense of security in being out in public. Relationships crumbled under the strain of confinement and isolation. The statement, feeling safer in a crowd, definitely lost all meaning as we lived in an active state of fear for years and are still struggling to quote unquote bounce back or quote unquote get back to what life was like before. And that's not going to work because that place doesn't exist anymore. Graduations, weddings, any other milestone were postponed or canceled, leaving many people feeling robbed of experiences they've been looking forward to for years. One thing I heard a lot from clients and peers were some of the challenges around pregnancy during the pandemic. Access to care that felt safe was complicated. Ultrasounds where the partner had to be FaceTimed in. No family or support at delivery or afterwards. People who'd been trying for years were alone or isolated for much of their pregnancy experience. Missed baby showers or the drive-by baby showers because of fear of exposure. The different compounding losses left many of us reeling, trying to figure out what it means to move forward, to exist in this space. It's essential to recognize that these losses are valid and deserving of acknowledgement. We must create space for people to grieve without judgment or comparison. Just because someone else may be facing what seems like a quote-unquote bigger loss doesn't diminish the pain of your own experience. It's that both-and situation we've talked about before. People experiencing non-death losses can be grieving and are entitled to their grief, while those experiencing a death-related loss are also entitled to their grief. I think it's so important to have conversations about both death and non-death losses because in some form or other, we are all grieving different things and they're all valid. They both get to have weight and take up space. We don't have to minimize our pain because we think someone else deserves to have their pain matter more. We get to make space for people to show up with their grief, regardless of its origin. So, how do we navigate this terrain of non-death losses with compassion and understanding? Well, let's think through some starting stories and examples. Now, these are not all inclusive. We're just going to touch on three situations today, and we'll cover more in future episodes. So let's start with, okay, someone is going to make a career change. Consider someone who's poured years into building a successful career, only to realize they're unfulfilled and need to make a change. Now, this could be a corporate career or a stay-at-home parent career. Letting go of that identity, that sense of achievement or connection can be incredibly painful, even if it makes more sense for the family system or for the person. Or we are confronted with needing to do something that aligns more with our values, and so we make a big change. There can be a number of ripples here. Insecurity about whether this change will be successful. How will this impact my family, my support systems, our finances, our social standing, the connections that we've made, the spaces we've had access to, the privilege we've had access to. Are we going to have to move? What's it going to look like to start over? Do we have to start over? Do I have to go back to school and gain additional training? What's the financial cost there? Does that mean we're going to miss out on different opportunities or experiences because we're making these career changes? Does my partner need to increase how much they financially contribute while we sort out next steps? What does that look like? How does that impact time? These are just some components of change that could impact you, and there are different ways one might experience grief. You know, the next example is someone who gets a chronic illness diagnosis. When someone receives a life-altering diagnosis, they not only grapple with the fear of their own mortality, but also with the loss of their health, their independence, and their future plans. It's a loss that can reshape every aspect of their life. Additionally, it might impact their family or social situation where someone else has to move into the caregiver role or amp up their current caregiving duties or parentification if some of the older kiddos need to step up and help around the house, or the financial burden that can happen with some medications that may or may not be covered by insurance or similarly with procedures. or the frequency of medical appointments, blood draws, things like that, and that impacting sustainability of employment, because if you're having to use up sick time or you might not have sick time, and then needing to potentially arrange transportation or childcare coverage, or pace of life grief. I think I hear this one pretty common from clients. You're used to operating at a certain level of busyness, being able to juggle lots of different things. And then you get a diagnosis or have a health event that changes that. You were operating at a different capacity before, and now you have to operate differently because what you were doing previously isn't sustainable. It's hard. It's hard giving up that pace of life, or altering what you view as productive or being efficient with time. Your pace, your stamina, it's going to change. It's going to look different. And there's grief there. There's grief in needing to receive help or ask for help when maybe you were the helper before, the dependable one. There can be lots of complicated grief around a new health-related diagnosis. The last topic we're gonna process through is the concept of the empty nest. So for those that don't know, that's a parent whose children have grown up and moved away. And these parents may experience, or caregivers may experience, a profound sense of loss. Their homes feel quieter, their daily routines are disrupted, and their identity as a caregiver is being challenged. Society can often dismiss this as a natural part of life, failing to recognize the depth of a parent's grief. I've worked with a number of parents who've really struggled and grieved this transition. In some situations, they had children younger and feel like they aren't sure what to do next because technically they're too young to retire, or they feel overwhelmed at starting something new and they don't know where to start. There can be grief about being needed in a different way. So much of parenthood is about being needed for rides, for food, for help with homework, for launching into adulthood. And that need is changing. There can be really cool things in those transitions, and there can still be grief about what that season of life was and how that impacted you and how it's going to look different moving forward. There can be grief maybe because being a parent was challenging, and now that their adult children are no longer in the home, the relationships are strained. There are so many variables to consider that would result from a non-death loss here. Or a different phenomenon happening that I'm hearing from clients is that kids are going off to college or trade school and struggle and end up moving back home. The grief about how to support adult children launch in a society where everything these days feels a bit behind in the timeline. Like I mentioned earlier about milestones being missed, there are age markers that culturally meant something pre-pandemic, and now that's shifted. There's grief about buying houses or feeling like you can't buy a house because it's too expensive. People are just doing things in different stages of life now, trying to figure out identity pieces in different ways. That was so on the nose culturally. So anyways, these three simple examples, these stories remind us that grief is a universal human experience, and it can impact us in such unique and unexpected ways through both death and non-death. It's messy, it's complex, and it's entirely valid. So, how do we navigate these seasons of grief when faced with non-death losses? Firstly, allow yourself to feel. Feel those feelings. Let the feelings do what they need to do to get out, to be heard and seen in a way that feels safe for you. Suppressing emotions only prolongs the pain. Suppressing emotions only prolongs the pain. It's okay to grieve the dreams that aren't going to come to fruition or the milestones that were missed. Giving yourself permission to mourn what could have been. Those missed moments or opportunities or hopes for the future, they get to be mourned. So after we feel our feelings, it's important to incorporate some self-care practices. Now, I'm not meaning self-care like going to the spa, retail therapy, though, don't get me wrong, those definitely have a valid place as well. I'd encourage us to lean into those life-giving grounding experience that can provide some solace amidst a grief storm. Engage in activities that bring you comfort and joy, whether it's journaling your thoughts, seeking support from loved ones, or indulging in your favorite hobbies. Resting. Resting is such great self-care. Prioritizing movement can help as well when we're feeling stuck in the feelings. It helps our brains process and metabolize out what we're feeling. Remember to prioritize self-compassion and kindness towards yourself during this challenging time, because whether it's a job loss, a friendship loss, a new season of impending change, we get to grieve it. So, as we conclude today's episode, let's reaffirm the significance of validating non-death losses, and I'd invite you to reflect on your own experiences with non-death loss. Take a moment to honor that grief, to sit with it without judgment or expectation. They hold weight and meaning in our lives, and their impact should never be underestimated. So, by acknowledging and honoring these losses, we help make a way for healing and resilience and open up doors for making meaning. And remember, you're not alone. So, until next time, remember to be kind to yourself today. Thank you for continuing to join me on this journey of adjusting to grief being our new normal. You're doing a great job. Take care. Opening and closing music, credit to The Datacorns. If interested in collaborating with me, please reach out to hello@griefisthenewnormal.com or check out my webpage, www.griefisthenewnormal.com, for upcoming learning, supervision, and workshop opportunities. Thank you.